I'd like to ask Alderman Friedman to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We begin tonight's meeting with a moment of sadness. Many of you know that on December 27th, Robert Capeless died at his home in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. He moved to Newton when he was appointed Commissioner of Taxation for the state of Massachusetts in 1958 and lived in our city for over 40 years. He was a lawyer, instrumental in researching and creating a compendium of the city of Newton's legislative branch from 1874 to 1997. And in 2003, he and his wife Anita returned to Pittsfield to be near family. You may also know that he served as mayor of Pittsfield from 1947 to 1955. I would like to ask all of us to rise for a moment of silence in his memory. Thank you. Thank you all. And we will begin this evening with the first call of committee reports. And at the conclusion of that, I hope to give some remarks about the work of the board in the last year. I'll begin with the Chairman of Land Use, George Mansfield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Land Use Committee report tonight begins and ends on page one. That's all you need to know. Docket item 32108 is on second call. Docket item 32008 is Metro PCS Massachusetts LLC and Zussman 219 Realty Trust. Petition for a special permit and site plan approval to install for wireless communications six panel antennae inside a new fiberglass roof mounted faux chimney, one GPS antenna mounted on the penthouse roof, and one condenser on the roof, and associated equipment to be located beneath the parking area at the rear of 219 Commonwealth Avenue, Ward 7, a multi-residence 1 zoning district. That was approved by a vote of 4-0 with 3 abstaining. That concludes the report. There are no hearings to assign tonight. So, as I said, that's all you need to know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Zoning and Planning Committee.
No report, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. The Programs and Services Committee, Chairman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report this evening.
Thank you. The Public Safety and Transportation Committee, Chairman Linsky.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The committee's report begins and ends on page 2. Docket item 295-08, Mo Nadal, 101 Blue J Court in Wilmington, Massachusetts, requesting the renewal of one van license to operate King Shuttle and Limousine service between Logan Airport and the Sheraton and Marriott Hotels in Newton. That item was approved by a vote of 6 in favor, not opposed. Docket item 455-05 is on the mayor requesting an appropriation in the amount of $6,000 from the Riverside Traffic Mitigation Fund to fund installation of a radar-controlled speed limit sign at the intersection of Concord and Grove Streets. The committee voted no action necessary by vote of 6 in favor, none opposed. All other items were held.
Thank you very much. Public Facilities Committee, Chairman Schnipper.
The committee report begins on page 3. 480-08, Elise Fenster, 187 Sargent Street, Newton, appointed as a member of the Solid Waste Commission for term of office expiring December 31st, 2011. That was approved 4-0. 467-08 is honor the mayor requesting to appropriate $600,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of purchasing heavy equipment and heavy duty trucks for the Department of Public Works. That was approved 7-0. Continuing on page 4, 267-08, parens 2. His Honor the Mayor requesting a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $34,000 from bonded indebtedness to increase the original appropriation, Board Order 267-08, for the purpose of replacing the boiler at the Underwood School. That was approved 7-0. 196-07, parens 3. His Honor the Mayor requesting a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $336,025 from bonded net indebtedness to increase the original appropriation for the purpose of rehabilitation of Station 4. That was approved 6-0-1. I'd like to be recognized to assign some public hearings.
Please do so.
On page 9 of the new docket, 4-09, James Wexler and Francis Stoll of 22 Exmoor Road petitioning to extend a main drain from existing manhole 77-1600 in Exmoor Road in a southeasterly direction 94 feet to a manhole in front of 22 Exmoor Road. That's in Ward 7, not Ward 8. 5-09, Attorney Peter Harrington. I'm sorry, the first one will be heard on January 21st, as will the next one. 5-09, Attorney Peter Harrington on behalf of LaSalle Developers, petitioning for a common sewer and easement in Pine Meadow Drive from the existing sewer main in Pine Street northwesterly to a proposed manhole in Pine Meadow Drive. That concludes the report, but just in case any of my colleagues did not see the newspaper and email, I would like to remind everyone that the project funding agreement with the state for Newton North High School was signed, and we will be receiving our initial payment of $28 million shortly. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. The Finance Committee. I'll recognize the Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee report begins on the page of bottom of page 4. The first item is on second call. The next item, 267-08, parens 2, is on the Mayor requesting a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $34,000 from bonded indebtedness to increase the original appropriation of Board Order Number 267-08, approved on July 21st of 2008 for the purpose of replacing the boiler at the Underwood School. That was approved 6-0. At the top of page 5, item 196-07, parens 3, is on the Mayor requesting a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $336,025 from bonded indebtedness to increase the original appropriation on Board Order Number 196-07, approved on 7-28-08, for the rehab of Fire Station Number 4. That was approved 6-0. Item 485-08, His Honor the Mayor recommending a transfer of funds in the amount of $22,938.90 from wage reserve to the fire department payroll account to pay a firefighter who was on active military leave. This was approved 6-0. Next item was 486-08, His Honor the Mayor requesting the establishment of a memorial fund entitled the Jordan Bennett Weiss Fund with the authorization to expend up to $50,000 in fiscal year 2009. That was approved 7-0. Next item was 250-01, parens 5, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $10,000 from receipts reserved for the purpose of planting trees along Cypress Street. These funds resulted from a condition and special permit number 250-01 granted to the Newton Terraces and Andover Newton Theological School on November 19, 2001, and must be spent or encumbered by March 16, 2009, or revert to the petitioners. Oh, I'm sorry, this item was held. I apologize, Mr. President. It did sound good, didn't it, coming out? It flowed.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Going. Thanks. The next item is on second call. The last item on the bottom of page 5, item 467-08, His Honor the Mayor requesting to appropriate $600,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of purchasing heavy equipment and heavy-duty trucks for the Department of Public Works. That was approved 7-0. The top of page 6,
Item 398-08 is on to the mayor requesting to A, appropriate for expenditure a gift of $40,000 from individuals who have joined together as the Friends of Newton Tennis, and B, appropriate the matching sum of $40,000 from budget reserve to the Parks and Recreation Department to repair the tennis courts at Newton South High School. That was approved 7-0. The next item is on second call. The next 1, 2, 3, 4 items at the bottom of page 6 were held, 7-0. And also the first two items at the top of page 7. Finally, the last item on page 7, item 455-05, is on to the mayor requesting an appropriation in the amount of $6,000 from the Riverside Traffic Mitigation Fund to fund installation of a radar-controlled speed limit sign at the intersection of Concord and Grove Streets. That was voted no action necessary, 7-0. That ends the report.
Thank you very much. I just noticed an oversight I made when the Chair of Programs and Services, there is one item that you may wish to join in reporting at the top of page 6. The... Okay. Vice Chairman Alderman Friedman? Alderman Friedman, can you just report the item at the top of page 6, 398? 398,
Newton Tennis. This item was had been approved this and by Programs and Services earlier, back in 1119. Is that the item to which you're referring?
Yes.
Okay. So, His Honor the Mayor requesting to appropriate expenditure of a gift of $40,000 from individuals who joined together as the Friends of Newton Tennis and to appropriate a matching sum of $40,000 from budget reserve to Park and Recreation Department to repair the tennis courts at Newton South High School. And this was approved by a vote of 4-0 by Programs and Services.
Thank you very much. The Committee on Real Property Reuse, Chairman Merrill.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report at this time.
Thank you very much. Committee on Post Audit and Oversight, Chairman Albright.
No report, Mr. President.
Thank you. And the Committee on Community Preservation, Chairman Lappin.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report.
Thank you very much. At this point, I would like to ask the clerk to call the roll on the committee reports and the new docket.
Alderman Albright.
Aye.
Alderman Brandel.
Aye.
Alderman Ciccone.
Aye.
Alderman Colletti.
Aye. Aye.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman. Alderman Friedman.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile. Alderman Harney. Alderman Hesmahan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye.
Alderman Lennon. Alderman Linsky.
Aye.
Alderman Mansfield.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill.
Aye.
Alderman Parker.
Aye.
Alderman Salvucci.
Aye.
Alderman Sangiolo. Alderman Schnipper.
Aye.
Alderman Swiston.
Aye.
Alderman Vance.
Aye.
Alderman Yates.
Aye.
President Baker.
Aye.
The vote is 20 yeas with 4 absent.
So all items carry. At this point, I'd recognize Alderman Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to suspend the rules to give the President of the Board an opportunity to present his year-end report for the year 2008.
All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Thank you, all colleagues, and thank you for those attending. I wanted to acknowledge at the outset we're joined by our state representative, one of our state representatives, Ruth Balzer. We welcome you tonight, as well as a number of our distinguished city employees, and we're grateful for your attendance as well. I also just want to acknowledge my wife, Sally, who I'm very grateful to. She offers welcome and useful advice on all sorts of things. You have a written report which will be made available on the city's website, and I think the clerk has got copies for anyone who's interested in the long version, but I'm not going to read the long version. I've got an abridged version that I'd like to use as the basis for the oral remarks. So I want to say at the outset how much I appreciate you all being here with colleagues in government, distinguished guests, citizens, family, and friends, and I want to just indicate how honored I am to serve as the board president and to give you my fifth annual report as president of the board. It's true in this particular role, nobody can succeed alone, and I especially appreciate the advice and assistance of our Vice President Scott Lennon. And Scott, if you just stand so people in the home will understand your important role here, and President Emeritus Vern Vance, who has spoken earlier. And we are also dependent on a number of important city staff, our controller David Wilkinson, and our city clerk and clerk of the board David Olson, and his staff Linda Finucane, Christine Owen, Shauna Sullivan, Karen Dean, Rosalie Myers, and Danielle Delaney. Together, this team is responsible for facilitating communication among board members and with the public on behalf of the board, including helping with this report. They also assemble the dockets, agendas, and reports of items for the board to consider. They prepare the board orders, revise or create new ordinances that result from board actions, and staff the various board committees. While we can be proud of the board's accomplishments during the last year, we still have much to do. What I'm about to say is not news to members of the board, but many Newton citizens may not fully understand the important role the board plays in city government and the many actions that we take that affect the quality of life in Newton. Therefore, the purpose of this report is to inform citizens about the board's role and describe some of what the board has done in the last year, and to acknowledge some of the many valued colleagues in city government who have helped the board do its work, and to highlight some of the matters that the Board of Aldermen will take up this coming year. Let me give a little background on the Board of Aldermen for those of you who are not as familiar with it. While the mayor is the chief executive of the city, it is worth remembering that the city charter provides that, quote, except as otherwise provided by law or the charter, all powers of the city shall be vested in the Board of Aldermen. These powers are exercised by the board in reviewing and approving city expenditures, setting the tax rate for residential and commercial properties, and shaping land use policy for the city. For example, in 2008, the board funded the remaining cost of Newton North High School, new playing fields for Newton South High School, new parkland next to Crystal Lake, and new water meters to assure more accurate readings. It also co-appointed a citizen advisory group to study the city's finances and approved important amendments to our zoning and historic ordinances to make them work better, as well as approving land use special permits for new development. While we aldermen may differ on policy from time to time, we are united in our concern for the welfare of the citizens of Newton. Our city has long stood for excellence in public services and education, and our challenge is to find ways to maintain and even enhance Newton's excellence in a time of difficult economic activity, fiscal constraint, and transition to new leadership for the city. With a large board, we cannot succeed in that effort without first allocating our work among a number of smaller standing or special committees whose members and leaders are appointed by the president at the beginning of each aldermanic term. These committees, in turn, report to the board as a whole for final action. I therefore want to acknowledge my colleagues who lead and serve on these committees, because the board's success is a result of their collective effort rather than any of my own. I especially want to acknowledge those colleagues who have not served this year in formal leadership roles, but have helped the board succeed in other ways. For example, first, Alan Ciccone Jr., to my left, a first-term alderman at large from Ward 1 who serves on the Zoning and Planning, Public Safety, and Community Preservation Committees. He has a background in public safety, which has been important to us all. Alan, would you just stand so people can see you at home? Thank you very much. Second, Amy Masangiolo, who is in the back, is an alderman at large from Ward 4 who serves on the Land Use Programs and Services and Community Preservation Committees of the board. She had previously ably served as board vice president before stepping down last year, but she helps keep us focused on important issues and also brings a few things back from Hawaii, which we're very grateful to you for. So how has the board exercised its powers during the last year? In 2008, the board tackled many issues which had or will have a significant impact on the city of Newton. The work on each of these items began in one of the board's committees, where it was reviewed and discussed, and where appropriate, a recommendation was made to the full Board of Aldermen. Instead of the detailed account in the written version of these remarks, I will highlight several items of note from the 9 regular committees and 1 special committee in the order in which they make reports to the full board under our rules. Note that some items appear in more than one committee because they often look at different aspects. The Land Use Committee. First to report at board meetings, as you heard tonight, is the Land Use Committee, which makes recommendations on zoning special permits and site plans for land development. This past year, the committee chairman was George Mansfield. George, would you stand? And its vice chairman was Mitch Fishman, who is not able to join us this evening. The committee clerk was Linda Finucane, and many staff members, including Associate City Solicitor Weta Young, Chief Planner Candace Havens, Associate City Engineer John Deglian, and Traffic Engineer Clint Sheckle supported the work of the committee. Special permits. In 2008, the committee reviewed 36 zoning special permit petitions, ranging from simple signs to 62 units of housing sited on 14-acre wooded parcel on the Grange Street, adjacent to the city-owned Kessler Woods open space. The board rules. The committee sponsored 2 successful changes to the rules and orders of the Board of Aldermen, allowing more than one night each month for land use to assign public hearings. This change should help offer alternatives when holidays make hearings infeasible. And second, establishing a rule for posting signs on the site of special permit applications so that neighbors can be aware that an application for zoning relief is pending. The Zoning and Planning Committee. The Zoning and Planning Committee is in charge of writing and revising our zoning and historic ordinances. The committee's chairman is Brian Yates, and its vice chairman is Jay Harney, who couldn't be with us this evening. Many staff members, including Assistant City Solicitor Marie Lawler, Director of Planning and Development Mike Cruzzi, who I believe is in the audience, New City Planner Jen Malinsky, and board staff Linda Finucane supported the work of this committee. In 2006, the committee appointed a zoning task force chaired by Alderman Ted Hesmahan, comprised also of citizens, including local architects, developers, and attorneys, to look at revising several aspects of Newton's zoning ordinances considered problematic by the Commissioner of Inspectional Services. The Zoning and Planning Committee recommended and the board approved amending the definitions of half-story and height, as well as adding a definition of dormer, to avoiding adding full stories to structures without seeming to do so. The committee anticipates holding a second set of public hearings on the 3-foot grade change modifications and the partial demolition rules in January. In response to citizens, aldermen, and members of the Historical Commission, the committee instigated and the board approved amendments to the demolition delay ordinance. The amendments codified administrative practice in a way that helped reduce the number of owners of properties over 50 years old, that's properties over 50 years old, not people, who had to seek permission from the Historical Commission for possible demolition of these properties. The Programs and Services Committee. The Programs and Services Committee looks after Newton schools, our parks and recreation facilities, and our library, as well as aldermanic rules and staff. The chairman is Marcia Johnson, if you wouldn't mind standing. Thank you very much. And vice chairman is John Friedman. The committee is supported by committee clerk Karen Dean and relied on many city staff, including Fran Toll and Carol Stapleton from the Parks and Recreation Department, from the Law Department, Dan Funk, Assistant City Solicitor Marie Lawler, from the Health Department, Commissioner David Naparstek, who is here, and also members of the school committee. One of the objectives of the committee was to work with the Public Facilities and Finance Committees on the funding and development of a master plan for Crystal Lake, the city's natural outdoor swimming area, since the city recently acquired 2 parcels of land abutting the city land. Also, with the cost of the new Newton North High School rising, many aldermen and citizens felt the need for more accountability and transparency in the process. Some members of the board docketed several items that came before the Programs and Services Committee in order to address the complicated issues involved with such a large project and its increasing cost. It is therefore gratifying that the long-sought guaranteed maximum price has been delivered to the city and a new high school can be seen rising in Newtonville. In response to the budget problems being faced by the city this year, the Programs and Services Committee recommended a resolution to the board to appoint a citizen advisory group to study the city's finances. The president of the board, the mayor, and the chair of the school committee were charged with finding able and expert citizen volunteers to look at all possible means of improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the municipal and school departments. In response, as board president, I worked with Mayor David Cohen and school committee chair Doria Zalesnik to appoint a distinguished panel of 13 citizens called the Citizen Advisory Group. The CAG, as it has become known in shorthand, has issued or will issue reports on the areas of city revenues, school and municipal cost structure, capital structure, and decision and control. We were pleased to hear a preliminary report by the CAG leaders Malcolm Salter and Ruth Ann Fuller and several of their colleagues earlier this fall. The Public Safety and Transportation Committee, it reviews matters relating to the Police Department, Fire Department, and Civil Defense Department, Traffic Engineer, Traffic Council, Parking Ordinances, Taxis, Buses, Public Transportation, and Utility Petitions relating to specific traffic signals. The Public Safety Committee this year was chaired by Stephen Linsky, Steve, and its vice chair was Victoria Danberg. Committee clerks Christine Owen and Daniel Delaney supported the work of the committee. It was also supported by many city staff members, including the traffic engineer Clint Sheckle, traffic planner David Kozis, police department personnel, including police chief John O'Brien, and we're honored to have the acting chief of police, acting chief Mintz, here tonight. Thank you very much for coming. Captain Matthew Cummings and officer Paul Bianchi. The fire department personnel included the Chief Joe LaCroix and City Solicitor Dan Funk and Marie Lawler again. In January 2008, the Public Safety and Transportation Committee approved the first pedestrian-actuated warning signal at the hazardous intersection of Craft Street and Linwood Avenue, where a crosswalk already exists. The signal will only light up when a pedestrian is actually using it to cross the street. In April and December of 2008, the Public Safety and Transportation Committee reviewed and recommended approval of the purchase of new fire department vehicles, including one new ladder truck to replace a 1985 model. Six additional vehicles will replace old and high-mileage automobiles. The Board of Aldermen was represented on the Traffic Council in 2008 by Alderman Victoria Danberg, who joined Assistant Traffic Engineer Nina Wang, resident member Jerome Groff, Transportation Planner David Kozis, who serves as Chair of the Council, and Sergeant James Norcross of the Traffic Division to review site-specific and traffic and parking issues. The Council was supported by Committee Clerk Rosalie Myers. In 2008, the Council continued to discuss traffic calming guidelines and adopted two new policies. The first provides guidance to the Council and the public on requests for changes to on-street parking ordinances. The second policy provides guidance on the criteria used by the Traffic Council to approve residential handicap parking spaces. The Public Facilities Committee is involved in roads, trash collection, snow plowing, water and sewer service, utility lines, and public buildings, including new or renovated schools. The chairman of the Public Facilities Committee is Sidra Schnipper, and the vice chair is Anthony Salvucci. Sal? The committee is staffed by Shauna Sullivan of the clerk's office and is supported by Public Buildings Commissioner Nick Parnell, who is here tonight, as well as Tom Daly, City Engineer, and Tom Daly, Commissioner of Public Works, City Engineer Lou Taverna, and also from the Mayor's Office, Sandy Pooler and Susan Burstein. I'm sorry I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see entirely who's in the background there, but I want to make sure I don't miss anybody by mistake. The Public Facilities Committee and the Programs and Services Committee worked together to review and approve plans for two synthetic multipurpose fields, a natural turf baseball field, and a natural turf softball field in Newton South High School. The new fields will alleviate drainage issues at the school and create a much more playable sports area for both students and the community. The committee has also received bi-monthly updates on the progress of the Newton North construction project from Alderman Gentile and Schnipper. The reports include all aspects of the construction, such as the guaranteed maximum price for the project, the traffic improvements for Walnut Street and Elm Road, leadership in energy and environmental design, or LEED certification, the cost-saving changes to the design of the theater, and many other pieces of the project. The project is on schedule for completion by the start of September 2010 school year. The Finance Committee reviews requests related to budget review and transfers, policy oversight and review, capital improvements in matters relating to the assessing department, parking and fine administration, city treasurer and collector, city controller, accounting, purchasing department, executive office, personnel department, and in the information technology department. The Finance Committee's chair this past year was Paul Coletti, who just managed to get back from New York. And his vice chair is Len Gentile, who couldn't be with us tonight. Committee clerks Christy Nguyen and Daniel Delaney supported the work of the committee. The work of the Finance Committee was supported by many staff members, but I particularly want to acknowledge our controller, David Wilkinson, who is very important to the work of that committee, and treasurer's collectors Ed Spellman and James Reardon. I think Treasurer Reardon is here. Is he? I think so. Yes, thank you. We also appreciate the work of all of the others who have been assisting in that. I've mentioned some of them before. At the beginning of the year, the Finance Committee reviewed the Newton North High School proposed financing plan, including discussing the importance of achieving a guaranteed maximum price for completion of this project with Dimeo Construction, the construction manager at risk chosen for the project. Committee members also stressed the importance of going out to bid so that subcontractors could be selected and the city could take advantage of a downturn in the construction market, perhaps reducing the cost of the project, as well as making timely application to the Massachusetts School Building Assistance Program for the $46.6 million in state reimbursements on this project. And you, as you heard this earlier this evening, we've learned that the first installment on that reimbursement has now been received. Earlier this year, the board voted the final authorization for a total of $197.5 million to assure completion of this project. The Finance Committee also asked Alderman Gentile to chair a subcommittee to provide review and updates to the Finance Committee on the expenditures on the Newton North project, and Alderman Parker has also been working on an issue relating to funding of retirement benefits for health care for our retirees. Newton North's the committee also continued to move forward on the replacement of the Newton South fields as described earlier, and the committee was active in establishing a special account with $500,000 of seed money in order to provide a fund for the long-term maintenance of these fields. In April and May, the Finance Committee was deeply involved in reviewing proposals for both an operating and debt exclusion property tax override, reducing the amount of the initial recommendation by the mayor. The committee assisted the board in presenting a general override request of $12 million to the voters in May, while a budget was set forth based on no override being passed. When the override did not succeed at a special election, the committee worked with the executive department on the continued review of the fiscal 2009 budget of over $300 million, as well as ultimately setting the relative share of taxes paid by commercial and residential property. While the committee was completing its work on the new budget, the Financial Audit Subcommittee, chaired by Alderman Scott Lennon, continued to work with the auditors regarding the timely reconciliation of cash and receivables and the appropriate filing of the city's reports with the Internal Revenue Service. The Real Property Reuse Committee reviews the sale or lease of city property. Its chairman is Carlton Merrill, Chairman Merrill, and the vice chairman is Bill Brandel. The committee was supported by committee clerk Linda Finucane and assistant city solicitor Eileen McGettigan. In May, the committee and board approved an amendment to section 2.7, sale or lease of city-owned property, to allow the requirements of that section not otherwise required by law or charter to be waived in whole or in part by a two-thirds vote of the Board of Aldermen. The post-audit and oversight committee looks back to see what has been promised has in fact been achieved. Its chairman is Alderman Susan Albright. And the vice chair is Alderman Greer Tan Swiston, and is staffed by Shauna Sullivan of the Clerk's Office. This past year, the committee discussed several reports from the Commissioner of Public Buildings regarding why limited progress had been made on the execution of the construction project database approved by the board on April 20, 2004, and Commissioner Parnell has met with the committee several times this year and provided updates on the progress of the database. The committee also received regular updates on the implementation of speed zone and truck exclusion ordinances adopted by the Board of Aldermen, but not approved by the state. The committee has also discussed the status of renovations of health and safety repairs to the fire stations. Finally, the Committee on Community Preservation, which recommends how we spend funds for open space, affordable housing, recreation, and historic preservation generated by 1% of the property taxes paid by city residents matched by state funds raised under the Community Preservation Act. The committee chairman this year is Cheryl Lappin, and vice chair is Alderman Ken Parker. The committee was supported by the committee clerk Karen Dean and also by many of the people that I've mentioned before, but especially Alice Ingerson, who worked in the planning department on this important project. One of the aspects that the committee approved was the Homebuyer Assistance Program. As you may know, the City of Newton Homebuyer Assistance Programs has successfully made over $4 million of properties affordable and helped individuals, people with disabilities, and families achieve home ownership. The Community Preservation Committee came before this Aldermanic Committee on Community Preservation to request about $950,000 in CPA funds to accommodate more deserving and qualified home buyers over the next 2 years. Another important act was to provide the residents of Newton with a more unified beachfront at Crystal Lake. The city at this time acquired property at 230 Lake Avenue. The acquisition included 8,423 square feet of land, an easement that allows for passage along the waterfront, a conservation restriction along the waterfront, and a preservation restriction on the front of the facade at the house at 230 Lake Avenue. Finally, a special committee, the Special Committee on Long-Range Planning, investigates how the board can improve its efficiency and effectiveness. Its chairman is Ted Hess-Mahan, and its vice chairman is President Emeritus Vern Vance. In 2006, the committee, in conjunction with the mayor's office, was instrumental in convening the Blue Ribbon Commission on Newton's finances, and in 2007, reintroduced an annually updated long-range financial forecast to assist in planning to meet the city's needs. The joint efforts of the committee and the mayor's office helped lay the foundation for the groundbreaking work of the Blue Ribbon Commission, as well as the citizen advisory group, as noted above. In 2008, the committee built on the foundation of its previous efforts and accomplishments by continuing to focus on long-term financial and strategic planning initiatives, enhancing staff and volunteer support for all aldermanic committees, reviewing the management and organization of aldermanic committees, and improving communication, about which I'll say more in a few minutes. Some things to come. I have three sets of issues I want to address as we go forward. A word about the board, the citizens we serve, and our colleagues in Newton government. First, the board. We have made strides over the last few years in making the board more visible and effective. The change in the work of the Traffic Council at the end of the last term is one example. We also want to be helpful to citizens in understanding how Newton government works for them. Thanks to New TV and Mr. Olson, the quality of our televised meetings is better, and we are in the process of getting a new sound system to make broadcasts even clearer. I invite members of the board with further ideas to share them with me or Alderman Hess-Mahan, who is chairman of the Long Range Planning Committee, where ideas are incubated before they are docketed as formal ideas for action. In a time of challenges, it is especially incumbent upon us to model civility for our citizens and be prepared to explain our actions. Along these lines, I'm pleased to report that thanks to New TV and Jesse Kreitzer, our New TV's coordinator of government programming, who's actually assisting in televising this meeting tonight, and his colleague cameraman Richard Berman, viewers of the government channel will have more background on the work we do in committee as well as the full board, especially since so much of what we do in committee is voted at the outset of our meetings at first call. Starting sometime later this month on the Red Channel, the same one viewers are seeing this meeting tonight, we will have 15 to 30 minute interviews with the leadership of the various committees of the board, as well as our clerk of our board, Mr. Olson, and our controller, Mr. Wilkinson, about what they do in the various committees. The series is called Aldermen at Work and will be shown at 7:30 on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings. We hope you will find them informative, and if they prove helpful, we may expand them to include other topics. In addition, we hope soon to have the ability for citizens to view board meetings online and link to specific portions of the agenda of issues. To our citizens, foremost in our attention must always be the 84,000 citizens we serve. Every vote we take, everything we do must always focus on how we can best serve them, our constituents. Newton is fortunate in that despite the current economic downturn, median single-family home sale prices have held relatively constant, including the data through November of this year, indicating that Newton is still broadly regarded a very desirable place to live. Money magazine included Newton among the 50 most desirable small cities in which to live in America. We want to continue to ensure that it is a welcoming community, and initiatives like improving the low-income and housing inclusionary zoning ordinance, likely to be forthcoming soon, are important additional steps. We will soon receive the reports of the Citizen Advisory Committee. It is important to hear its recommendations and take them seriously. The committee's advice, and that of others, will offer us a chance to re-examine how we do things in Newton and lay the foundation for an even more effective government. I anticipate asking the CAG, when it completes its work, to report to the board at a time and place when the mayor and the school committee and interested citizens can hear the committee's ideas. The next few months, as we look forward to new leadership in the executive department, offer us an important opportunity for the future of Newton. At the same time, despite our differences of opinion from time to time, we owe Mayor David Cohen our gratitude for 11 years of honorable stewardship of our beloved city, for which he clearly cares so deeply. That brings me to our valued colleagues in government, our employees. In a time of transition in elective office, our employees are the core of continuity for our city. The City of Newton has over 3,000 municipal and school employees who serve the 84,000 residents of Newton. These employees educate our children, protect us from fire or crime, enforce our laws, maintain our water and sewer lines, keep up our public buildings, care for our parks and playgrounds, repair our roads, and plow our streets, often with less and less to work with. We see some of them in action, but often we just catch a glimpse of them as we come or they go. And that does not count the many people who serve the city who may be invisible to citizens because they work behind the scenes. I've already mentioned several individuals who have helped the board do its work, such as staffs of the clerk of the board, the controller, the law department, or the planning department. But we should also recognize those in other departments, like assessing, public buildings, purchasing, information technology, or human resources, and many more too numerous to mention, in both the city government and school department, who enable those more visible employees on the front lines, in turn, to do what they do. Sometimes we honor them when they retire, but that does not capture their contribution while they are among us. But at a time when job security and working conditions may be as important as raises to our employees, especially when we are in a recessionary and deflationary economy, we need to provide our employees both the training to do even better and the equipment they need to do it. We also need to begin funding the obligation we have to assure them the health care they have earned when they do retire and capture their best ideas and experience before they leave. As the city's elected representatives, we need to thank them and for them to feel appreciated, even if we cannot easily recognize all of them individually. I believe one of our Massachusetts poets, Marge Percy, has summed up what I mean about our municipal and school employees in her poem, "To Be of Use." Let me quote a few lines. "The people I love the best jump into work head first, without dallying in the shallows, and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. I love the people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. The work of the world is as common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands and crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing, well done, has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, hoppy vases that held corn are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real." As we go forward this year, I believe it is important that the members of the board somehow periodically help recognize our employees who exemplify being of use to our citizens and the thing worth doing, well done. So I'm asking Alderman Johnson, because of her experience in human resources, to work with me and the Vice President Lennon, over the next few weeks to help establish a process and criteria for expressing our appreciation, and I invite your suggestions on how to proceed. But I think at this point I would just like to ask all of us to just stand for a moment and applaud the employees who are here tonight as representative of all of those in the city. Newton is much more diverse than is generally perceived, but whatever our village, we share a concern for our city and its welfare, because its welfare and its citizens are linked. At the same time, the challenges we face will not be easy to overcome, but but they can be done if we work together to maintain and enhance the excellence in city services and education that is Newton's hallmark. Thank you very much. Thank you all. The board will be in a 5-minute recess. So let's begin with the announcement from Alderman Schnipper.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that many of you have expected that this Wednesday evening public facilities would be discussing the traffic light at the ceremonial entrance of Newton North High School. Alderman Albright has asked that we postpone that because she will be out of the country, and as the Ward 2 representative, it is important to her that she be there. So we have put that off. I am stating it here so that hopefully the public will hear as well. I have asked that it be put on the liaison committee meeting because it had been announced that it would be this Wednesday evening, and it will be delayed until the 21st. I also wanted to mention to my colleagues, because I think it's exceedingly important, on the 21st I am planning an early start at public facilities because we are going to hear a report on the trial of the new trash program, and I think many of you might want to join us. So my plan is to start that at 7 o'clock. I will put a reminder in. We'll be hearing some specifics and details, so I would urge you all, if you can, to join us that evening.
Thank you. So the first item is actually a jointly referred item on page 48708 with public facilities and finance. So I would, it involves the rock crusher, I believe, on page 5.
.487-08 is Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $100,000 from the Environmental Solid Waste Fund for the purpose of contracting rock crushing services at Rumford Avenue. We heard this item on December 17th, at which time Commissioner Daley presented us with copies of photographs of this mountain of rubble, which is at Rumford Avenue. Once it is crushed, it will be used as the base for many road projects throughout the city, so it will save us significant money. It also will eliminate an eyesore. There certainly were questions both at public facilities as well as at finance as to whether or not we should consider purchasing our own piece of equipment as opposed to renting it. We have received a memo from Mr. Pooler explaining the costs of that, but with a commitment to look into that for the future. This item was approved by the Public Facilities Committee by a vote of 5 in favor, none opposed, and 2 abstentions with 1 absent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Finance Committee, who's going to give the report? Chairman? Chairman Coletti.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee did take this up 2 weeks ago on Monday evening. The concerns, as you can see from a memo that was sent out this evening, it's on your desks, dated January 5th by Tom Daley, as it relates to the proposed cost to purchase one of these rock crushers. And you can see a large discrepancy on the price based on the size of the machine. And secondly, questions that were raised by Alderman Gentile and the committee relative to the hours of operation, so that we would be assured that the people in the neighbors and in the neighboring rental properties on Lexington Street and the homeowners in that area would not be impacted, as some of the residents in Ward 2 were familiar when the rock crushing process was happening behind Craft Street. There were 3 critical items in the Finance Committee that were discussed. Obviously, it's very important The material that's sitting at the Rumford Ave site right now is old sidewalk that has been taken up and some cracked in old granite. And if the city had to pay to remove that material, it would have to pay by the truckload to take it someplace and dump it. And then when the city needs to buy what is typically called crush run, which is material that's packed as a base on the streets before the streets are paved, and in some instances it's the material that we mix along with some of our scarified material from the asphalt that's recaptured, and we give it away to people on private ways. If the city had to buy that material, it would probably cost us around $16 to $20 a ton, and also the cost of trucking. So it's absolutely appropriate that we consider crushing the material that's collected there. And we believe that there's about $180,000 worth of material there. And if the Public Works Committee spends $100,000 to recapture $180,000 worth of material, then the city does come out slightly ahead. There were two other concerns. Were obviously, if it's a good thing to do one time, it's all obviously a good thing to do more than one time. So if we own the machine after a period of years, the machine would pay for itself rather than renting it each time. So now the city doubles the amount of money that it would save by consistently crushing its material. In the old days, just for your own information, the city had two contractors who established a crushing. Joe Biotti had one over at Elliott Street in my ward that operated for quite a while the Dudley Road sewer connection work was done. And basically, the material was crushed at Elliott Street. There was one pile the contractor kept and one pile that he gave to the city. So unfortunately, when the Craft Street crusher moved, we should have moved it to a facility where we would have been able to continue to use that. So the committee was concerned about the fact that we might have been able to work out a public-private partnership with a local contractor and operate the crusher at Rumford Ave at no expense to the city. So that's something I think that we also have to work on in the future that the committee was concerned about. And lastly, as the chair, I was concerned about the source of money to pay for the rental of the equipment. We only have $800,000 in the recycling fund, and the mayor is proposing to take $100,000 from a fund which is set aside for the recycling project. It was set aside for buying the new barrels, the new plastic barrels for the recycling, for the new waste program. And to take that money and use it for the creation or the preparation of crushed material, which is a supply product that the Public Works Department could buy, we're now going to deplete 12% of the resource recovery monies that are sitting in the recycling fund. And as you all probably might know when the committee discussed this, the price of paper has fallen through the floor. So right now there is no market for recycled paper, nor is there a market for recycled steel. So at this point, we do not intend to have the amount of recovered money in that fund this year that we've had in other years. So the problem is that by depleting that account, when we have to renew our contract for the recycling next year, the money's going to have to come from someplace, and as I indicated in the committee the other night, whether it's going to be a pay-as-you-throw problem for other homeowners to pay in order to support the recycling, it was my belief that we shouldn't be depleting the recycling fund to do a project like this. So all those things having been said, it's still a good project. I just wish that the mayor's office had made a recommendation to change the funding source, because I do not think that this funding source is appropriate. But the committee still voted 6 in favor and none opposed, I think, with one not voting. Let me check the record first, make sure I'm... 6 in favor, 1 opposed. Alderman Johnson opposed to approve this item, and I would hold my right to speak on it.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, Alderman Colletti?
Well, obviously, I guess I didn't raise anyone's interest, but I will be reminding us all when the recycling fund is depleted, and you know, I think that a strong message should be sent to the mayor's office that we'll go along with this for this year, but I think it's an inappropriate modification of how we're operating these funds, and I think that there should have been more thought by the mayor's office and more reaction by us as to the need for this. These things just keep popping up, and it's almost like people don't stop to think about these things until they become a crisis, and then suddenly, you know, we end up spending. We all talked about how we go on after, you know, the budget is established and everything. Between now and June 30th, a lot of these items are going to keep moving forward, and we find these unbelievable locations of these funds to fund these things. But this is another example of, I think, inappropriate movements of money and expenditures in order to hide the fact that we should have been more proactive in dealing with this issue and solving it for a longer period of time than just the next 2 months. So what would I suggest? I would suggest, I mean, they think that they're going to crush this material in the next month, and very shortly it's going to be covered with snow. I don't think that this, and they're not going to be doing any road construction until April. If there's anybody else who feels the way that I do, that we shouldn't be using the recycling fund, I mean, I would suggest that we had considered holding this for 2 weeks and asking the mayor to change the funding source in order to protect the recycling money. If not, those of you who care about recycling and what the new costs are going to be for a new recycling program better realize that there'll be people like myself who'll be questioning where the money comes from in order to continue the recycling program when these funds, the $800,000, are depleted. So I will leave it up to my colleagues. I mean, my suggestion, and I'm going to try this, I'm going to move that we lay this on the table for 2 weeks to give me a chance to get the mayor's office to change this funding source, because I want to continue to recycle and I want to see the problem grow. The program grow, but this is detrimental to the sustenance and the improvement of the recycling program by depleting its reserves that have been generated, you know, by the recycling actions of the citizens. So I'm going to move that it'll just be laid on the table for 2 weeks, and I don't think it's going to jeopardize anything.
Let me suggest that the form of the motion would be a motion to postpone, because lay on the table, it doesn't have a date attached to it. So, okay? So the seconder agree to that? Okay. So I had seen Alderman Linsky, but this is now, there's now a motion on the floor. That
actually, and I was just going to ask through the chair what the suggestion of the chair was. Now he's given it, and I'll support it.
Okay. So on the motion, do you want to?
I think the Public Works Department should come in and fund it through their materials. They have a fund which last year they had an extra couple $100,000 in, which was their bituminous concrete account and some other supply accounts for their raw materials that they should spend this money from. And then at the end of the winter season, if there's extra money left, because don't forget they're proposing to put $4 million in the snow fund, if there is our money's left over from the snow account, that we will transfer out $100,000 and replace this money before we close it out to free cash.
Okay. More specifically, Mr. President, I think that the motion is, as you suggested, a motion to postpone to a date certain, which would be, I think you're suggesting, our next meeting, which is on the 20th, I think.
Yes. So that's the next full board meeting on the 20th, because the 19th is a holiday.
And we generate communication to the mayor to the in the respect that the
I'd ask Mr. Olson to work with the chair of finance on that. Okay. I had Alderman Swiston, though. Are you?
Thank you. It's been answered, and
okay.
I support this.
Alderman Parker, on the motion.
I don't have any problem, Mr. President, with taking another 2 weeks on this. My sole concern would be that we not use a funding source that would jeopardize other priority activities of the city, for example, money that could be used for repair and maintenance, money that could be used for other capital needs. So I don't want to jump to the conclusion that simply because someone supports postponement that they support the Chairman of Finance's recommended alternative funding source. I'd like to see what that funding source is first. I'm happy to support his motion to postpone, but I will reserve judgment at the next meeting as to whether the alternative he presents is superior to using the Mayor's recommended funding source.
Okay. I think the thrust of the conversation is to ask the mayor's office to come back and either clarify or offer an alternative funding source, and the chairman of finance will work with a clerk to generate information that will help facilitate that. Anybody else? If not, let's take the vote on a motion on postponement on a voice vote. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The item is postponed. Okay. The next item is a finance item, 39708 on page 6. Who's going to give the report on this? Is this Chairman of Finance? Okay. This was an item that's previously approved, but has been recommitted to only one committee. Alderman Colletti.
The cause. Let me just go to the next page so I can get the vote. This item was recommitted back on December 1st to the committee. The reason it was recommitted was that there was this discussion about the, instead of going to the Greater Boston Police Council state bid contract for the Focuses and Ford Fusions that were being considered, there was a recommendation made that the Ron Mahan, the head of the Equipment Maintenance Department at the Public Works Department, be authorized to go to the auction up in Framingham and to purchase seven of these vehicles from the fleet of Ford vehicles that are every week sold up at the auction. And we ultimately had a further discussion as it related to the city's policy on the use of public city vehicles and the attempt that the board had back at the budget time when we established this this policy and attempted to institute a 10-mile policy requirement regarding the taking home of the vehicles. Two things were missing, which climaxed with the recommittal of this item to finance. First was an active list by the Commissioner of Inspectional Services specifying who was getting these new vehicles and which inspectors in the department had deficient vehicles. And then secondly, a list that was to be prepared by the executive department of take-home vehicles in the city so that the and how many miles those vehicles have been traversing back and forth every day and being used by various department heads. And luckily at the meeting last week, 2 weeks ago, Ron Mahan was present that evening and presented to us a copy of the previous 1992 policy. And also, Mayor's office provided us with an updated take-home vehicle list with the average one-way distance traveled for the employees. We also had a copy of the gasoline, gas boy expenditure of gasoline for every vehicle in the city that's currently used, including the take-home vehicles. And then lastly, we did get a list of vehicle allotments from Inspectional Services, which obviously proved what some of us had been saying all along, that there are fewer vehicles right now in Inspectional Services and ultimately are going to be initiated after this purchase, and that two of the department heads will now officially have their own vehicles where currently they do not have take-home vehicles and share vehicles. So the committee once again reviewed the policy, and we still have more work to do on the policy. We reviewed the fact that these seven vehicles need to be purchased, and what we actually proposed to do was we made a recommendation through the comptroller's office that there's $100,000 in an equipment account that Ron Mahan has at his disposal, and that he go to the auction which he, I think, did last week, and purchased these seven vehicles while the Ford Motor Company was still making them available at a tremendous discount price. And then lastly, the committee had a real concern because it reviewed the estimated miles in terms of the viability of the hybrids. And once again, Ron Mahan explained, and I think Alderman Freeman said it well in committee, that even we're spending so much money to buy these hybrids that based on the amount of mileage that they do, that the city will never recoup the difference in price between the hybrids and the vehicles that we're purchasing at the auction, which are costing us on an average $11,000. So the committee reluctantly still voted to approve. The mayor was there, and the mayor made a tremendous case for the necessity of continuing to make advances in the use of hybrid vehicles in the city. And the mayor did prove out in the reports that we got that the mayor has the best record, 49 miles per gallon, with his hybrid in the city. So he's the best, and he's asked that we consider buying the hybrids, and the committee, with his initiation, asked us, and we did approve, I think, where am I on it? $153,000, and for the purchase of the vehicles, and I'm looking for the, I think it was page 6, 397. It was 4 in favor, 3 opposed. I think it was the same vote as it was. No, this last time, 4 in favor, 1 opposed, Alderman Johnson opposed, and 2 abstaining, Alderman Parker and Friedman. And once again, the hybrids will not be ordered until 20 days after this effective vote, and then it will take somewhere between 90 and 120 days to get them because they'll be bought through the state bid. The other vehicles, as far as I know, have already been purchased or are about to be purchased this week, and then this money will restore those funds into the Public Works equipment budget as approved by Dave Wilkinson. So I will move the report.
Okay. I'm not clear who put this on second call. Sorry. Thank you, Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to be clear up front. I do not want to say that Inspectional Services, which is a very needy department, and we all know that, they work under very sometimes dire circumstances. So this is not about Inspectional Services need, specific need. This is really about process. And we have before us an item to purchase some new vehicles. We would be doing this, in my opinion, without really having an updated policy. I believe Alderman Colletti had raised this back in May or June at the time of our budget discussions. And here we are 6 months later and we don't have an updated policy. And without an updated policy, we cannot make a complete assessment of the vehicles and how they're being used, who has them, why they're having them, who deserves this. I see Alderman Ciccone nodding his head. His father and my once neighbor would be maybe proud of me tonight. Currently, there are 62 people who take cars home. Some of these people travel more than 50 miles one way. Have we done a complete assessment to determine why they need to have that car at home, why they can't come to City Hall in their own little car, pick up some keys, and go deal with an emergency? No, we haven't done that. So I think we are what we call doing business as usual. And I think we can all agree we are in very precarious times. We have before us the potential, a fairly likely potential, local aid is going to get cut. Times are tough. It cannot and should not be business as usual. At the time of the override, we talked about the importance of not business as usual. So I will not be supporting this item if it does not get recommitted or something, because I think before this board supports that item, we need to really get that policy in place, assess those 62 vehicles and the other whatever number in our entire fleet, to really look at how we use these cars more effectively and efficiently. There may be people who don't need to take them home. There are things called mileage. Many places, if you use your personal vehicle for business
purposes, you get reimbursed per mile. So there are many different alternatives that we can look at that haven't been. This is business as usual, and in my opinion, it has to stop. And we have to find a place to stop it. We keep saying, oh, well, we'll just do this, or we'll just do one more. And at some point, it's got to stop. So I am urging this honorable board to send this back, not to finance, not to zoning and planning, but to the mayor, and say, go back and assess the need and be clear of who needs a vehicle and why and how many we then need to purchase. And really look at that policy, look at alternatives, and match that up against those 62 people and other cars that we have. So I am not supporting it as written, and again, I would urge us to send it back to the mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Let me recognize Alderman Swiston, I saw, and then Alderman Schnipper, then Alderman Salvucci, Parker, and then Coletti. All right? So on the report, Alderman Swiston.
I 100% agree with what Alderman Johnson was saying. I do think that we're not asking for very much. I felt like we had some indication that, of course, we don't want to hold up the whole budget. Back in May, you know, it was, we didn't want to hold up the budget process, you know, but of course, you know, there should be a policy, but, you know, don't hold this up for that. But that was months ago, and I don't understand why we don't have a policy yet, and maybe the process is to either recommit or postpone until we get knowing that there's a desire to want to support this, but we need all the policy information to be in place. One thing I will offer is that I don't know. I do know that there are many vehicles that are going back, and I understand that some of those vehicles that are going home was negotiated as part of a contract, but I also heard that it was negotiated as part of whatever their signing contract was, but is not calculated into their compensation. So I'd like to understand what the agreements were in making the arrangements. If they were, if it's all you know, if it's all put together as a compensation package, it makes sense to me because it's covered all together. You know, that was the cost of hiring that employee. I think all of that information needs to be made available because, you know, again, there's the concept of a vehicle that might be part of an employee's compensation package, and then there's the concept of a vehicle that's needed for the employee to get the job done. But I believe one of my colleagues, and I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, had commented that says what is not acceptable is that, you know, one person sits at this desk and another person doing the same job sits at the next desk and is collecting the same salary, except the other person gets a car to drive home, which incredibly ups their compensation package and doesn't seem fair.
Okay, I'm Alderman Schnipper.
One of the points which somehow does not seem to have been mentioned publicly is the fact that some of these vehicles are for the assessing department. And the assessing department doesn't take a single car home. They use them only here in the city. And if we don't pass this, you're holding them hostage. Now, one of the points that's been made in terms of whether or not we need city vehicles as opposed to allowing a mileage amount for use of personal vehicles is the fact that if somebody is going to somebody's home and expects to enter that home, if you drive up in a city vehicle, people know that you are who you are claiming to be, or they have every right to expect at least that you are, whereas if you come up in a private vehicle, I would be very hesitant to let someone in unless I recognized who they happen to be. So that's one point. The second is anyone who gets a vehicle to take home gets an additional tax statement. They pay income tax on that. It is not a benefit that just one person gets and another person doesn't. There is a policy in place that the department heads participate in deciding who does and who does not get a vehicle to take home. Anyone who does pays additional income tax because that is considered an additional stipend on their salary. I believe the time has come to purchase these vehicles because they are needed in our departments to get the work done. Some of the cars that are being driven, one really has to question whether or not they should still be on the road. And Ron Mahan clearly stated that to us the other evening. I think the time has come to do this. I believe we need a process in which the department heads can provide reasons for why they have assigned vehicles, et cetera. There needs to be follow-up on that. But just cutting it off at this point in time doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody in assessing takes these cars home, and they need them.
I have Alderman Salvucci, then Alderman Parker, then Alderman Colletti.
Thank you, Mr. President. I totally agree with my colleague from Ward 2. However, by the time that this board enacts a policy, New Year's will be here again next year, and we still won't have one. But meanwhile, the inspector's department needs cars. According to what Ron Mahan had to say at Finance, these cars are dangerous to drive. You know, these guys are out there trying to do a job, and they don't have the proper tools to do it with. So I supported this for the simple reason that now they need the cars, not when we set up a policy. Shame on us for not having one at this point in time. But we can't hold these people hostage. Now, as far as taking cars home, Alderman Snipper is quite correct. They do get a tax statement at the end of the year that they pay for it, in a sense. This is what I've been told. I have never seen one. I don't know about it, other than the fact that I heard about it. But we do have to have a policy in place, I agree. But we can't hold these people hostage now when they have to get a job to get done. We've got to give them the cars and the tools to work with. So that's why I supported it, and I'll support it again tonight.
Thank you. Alderman Parker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like many of the appropriation requests that come before us, this is a complex issue with a number of moving parts. It was alluded to earlier that during the budget discussion, we anticipated there would be a need to have in place a written, clear vehicle take-home policy. Alderman Ciccone took the lead on a budget resolution that passed the board, I think unanimously, on that subject. And we have, I think it needs to be acknowledged, made significant progress in regards to the creation of such a policy. Now, it's not the policy that Alderman Colletti had sought with a 10-mile absolute limit, but the administration, through Chief Administrative Officer Sandy Pooler, has agreed to change the vehicle policy to have it be a factor how far the vehicle is taken, which is an important distinction because I think, as Alderman Swiston started to allude to, you can have two city employees with the exact same job, both of whom can take a vehicle home. One of those city employees right now could live in the city of Newton. The other could live as Alderman Johnson indicated, more than 50 miles away from the city. So in other words, one is getting not only a free vehicle for commuting to work more than 100 miles round trip, but they're also getting free gas for that, and the other is just getting an opportunity to commute within the city of Newton. So that has a different value, even though they both get to take a vehicle home. We need to be clear that it is for the reason why we let employees take a vehicle home is for the benefit of the public, not for the benefit of the employee. The justification on a policy basis needs to be that we want that employee to show up in the middle of the night or be on call and make a quick trip to a site within the city. Well, that makes sense if they've got the vehicle at their home and they live in Newton or right near Newton, perhaps. It doesn't make any sense if they're driving 50 miles to the city. They could just as easily drive to the city, to City Hall or the Elliott Street Yard, and pick up a vehicle there at a city lot. So right now we have made significant progress on a policy, yet we have not completed that work. And so I would like to see that work completed before we approve the entire $153,000. The other point that I think that was made just a few moments ago that's very important is that there are two different departments here assessing, I think Alderman Schnipper just made this point, and Inspectional Services assessing doesn't take any vehicles home. So to the extent that our concern revolves around the vehicle take-home policy, we could easily separate the item and approve the assessing vehicles tonight and hold the other vehicles until we had the policy. The other issue...
Alderman Parker, excuse me, you have 3 minutes. Do you wish additional time?
May I have another two, please?
Motion to suspend the rules for an additional 2 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Please go ahead.
I thank my colleagues. The other issue that came up in committee, and I know Alderman Friedman focused in on this, was the environmental impact and the cost basis of the hybrid vehicles. Now, it is the case that if a vehicle is driven fewer than a certain number of miles a year, it doesn't. The differential in fuel economy is not going to save the city money. The argument was made by Mr. Mahan that it was a environmental policy reason for having the hybrids. If that, in fact, is the case, then we might want to look at plug-in electrics for the vehicles that are not driven a lot of miles within the city. And I know that there are some options in that area that don't require the construction of two separate engines. So I think that may be a more environmentally sensitive and economic option for the vehicles that are not driven that far that are used within the city. The other policy point that was raised is the possibility of pooling vehicles, not only within a department, but across departments. I believe Alderman Johnson raised this in committee, where you'd have a motor vehicle pool and you'd be able to take assign out a city vehicle for a project. So with all those reasons, I think it would make sense to do, we can't refer this to the mayor, there's no motion to do that, but I think it might make sense to separate the item into a parens A and B and approve part of the money tonight pending the resolution of these issues. And I won't make a motion now, but I will ask to be recognized again if the discussion seems to be heading in that direction.
Okay, I have Alderman Colletti, then I'll put Alderman Yates on the list after Alderman Ciccone.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. Number one, there are only five employees. They're the five supervisor, department foremen in the Public Works Department who are grandfathered in to having those vehicles. The rest of the employees have the vehicles beat through just the fact that that's the way the particular situation has grown over time. The new policy, as it's been adopted, amended 2 weeks ago by Section 6, was added into the policy that the executive department had been working on. Is it perfect? No, but at least at this point, it establishes a requirement that each department head certify the necessity for giving a take-home vehicle to an additional employee beyond the ones that exist today. Now, the reason why it's important that we, in fact, you know, we gave the initial approval to Ron Meehan to buy these seven vehicles is that there are absolutely four vehicles in Inspectional Services that must be replaced. And we do have a commitment that six vehicles, including two that the Inspectional Services Department will not even admit that they own as part of their fleet, will be surplus. The physical numbers have been given to the city, and Ron Meehan is preparing to take those vehicles off the road. So at least there aren't going to be additional vehicle floaters around there, out there. Those vehicles will be retired from the fleet. And the assessing department needs three. They were supposed to get two of the vehicles from the auction and one hybrid. So if we went ahead and voted and approved the seven vehicles, which would be at $11,000 a piece, or $11,500, which is close to $100,000, then we would be in the position where we could have the four vehicles for the Inspectional Services and three vehicles for assessing here in the city this week in order to, and to be honest with you, I've gone out on a limb along with the mayor and the comptroller and indicated that because those vehicles are needed, that he was authorized to go out and buy them at the auction with the understanding that we would replace the money in his equipment account once the money became available. And that is because Ford Motors' crop of these vehicles were drying up. We looked at the results of two previous week's auctions, and Alan can probably also, he's been at the auctions every week. Those vehicles are in high demand, and with the closing down of some of the Ford production facilities, and also some of these vehicles having such a high demand because they're no longer being processed through Ford Motor Company, they're being sold at a deep discount, and people are snapping them up, and the price on them are going to start to go up. So we thought that it was a smart thing to do. So I ask you, in terms of the W-2s, not everyone gets a W-2. For instance, the craftsmen that work for Nick Parnell, who have tools in their Econoline trucks that go home with them every night, because they're on 24-hour call. If a school has a broken water pipe, they get up, they get in their trucks, and they go with their tools and equipment. If the tools and equipment were sitting out here in these people's vehicles, the vehicles would be broken into at night, and the tools wouldn't exist. So those people aren't W-2'd, but the department heads who traverse back and forth from their homes to the city get a W-2, the fire chief, police chief, and public works people, they all get W-2s. But the rank and file employees who either have them by contract or the city gives them to them so that they can go out and do the emergency work, they do not get W-2s. And they're not allowed to use them for private, for their private use. So I hope that clarifies a little of this. But I would respectfully ask you to approve a minimum of $80,000 of this money so that we can get those seven vehicles out there and assist these people in getting their work done. I understand your concern. The policy is in place. There is a policy. And we have to be clear to really state what the true facts are. And the policy has been, done. Is it perfect? No. But at least it's there. And sometimes you have to compromise. And we'll have more time to deal with this, but these vehicles really do have to be purchased, and I respectfully ask you, because I went ahead and made a commitment that we would vote for this money, at least not for the hybrids. If you people decide to go with the hybrids, then we vote the entire 153, but at least at this time, I would respectfully ask that you vote a minimum of 80.
Okay, I'm Alderman Ciccone. Alderman Perk, I'll recognize you at an appropriate, but let me recognize people who haven't spoken yet. And Alderman Ciccone, then Alderman Yates, Alderman Lapp, and then back to Alderman Johnson. And then I'll come back to you, Alderman Perk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Alderman Colletti, you're true. The prices are going up with those vehicles. It's consistent in the last 3 to 4 weeks. I've already been up there. If someone wants the paperwork to prove it, I'll get it for you. On the other hand, I want you just to go back into your packets. Excuse me. Probably about, I'm going to say it might have been 4 or 5 packets ago. We were all given lists of which vehicles went to whom and who was taking them home. Well, it's all great, but some of them said 2007 Ford. Ford what? Ford makes trucks that are 6-wheel, 10-wheel trucks. Granted, they make cars, but they make trucks too. Now, if we got cars or 4-wheel drive vehicles that are going 50 miles a day one way and 50 miles back, it's a lot of money. 4-wheel drive vehicle going to and from 50 miles each way, that's a lot of money. If it's a car, it's a different story. We can look at that. But, I mean, we're talking apples to oranges here. It's apples to oranges. I understand that Inspection Services needs cars. I'm all willing and happy to get them cars. I know they need them. I know the Assessing Department needs them. It's already been talked about here already about the hybrids. You're not going to get the money back that you're going to invest. Perfectly simple. If it's an environmental thing and you want to do it that way, that's fine. But say that. Come out and say that. All right. Right now, I want to say we should make an amendment to the proposal that was already made. All right, forget the $153,000. You want to get that $80,000 and get those seven cars that they need and vote for that today? Great, I'll vote for that. I will not any way whatsoever be able to support this $153,000. No way. Not for what we were given for information and certainly not for hybrids unless somebody tells me that it's for environmental purposes only.
I have Alderman Yates and Alderman Lappin.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Though this was not recommitted to zoning and planning, I would like to remind the board of some of the stuff that we did determine, and that the primary thing is that the vehicles in the Inspectional Services Department, there are too few. Several of those that are there are in very bad shape, and that not just we're not being fair to the employees, but we're not being fair to the property owners, either the property owners who want an inspection done so that they can move on with the construction or the rehabilitation of their property, or the owners of property who have called up in high dudgeon, as some of us heard about 90 Atwood Avenue, that we, if we don't give ISD and assessing the vehicles they need so that the employees can go to sites and do their jobs, then we are not providing the services that the people of Newton deserve. And as to, there may be, I don't know how many vehicles are going home at night. I'm not sure how that pertains to whether or not the vehicles are being used properly during the day. But I think we get our roles distorted here when the only way we seem to be able to get the attention of the administration is through gumming up the works, rather than using another instrumentality, like I would say, an item before post audit and oversight, that can in fact look at across the board on all the issues, legitimate issues that have been raised, and come to a conclusion there, rather than saying that ISD in the car list as of November 24th included a Ford Taurus with 121,000 miles on it, condition poor, that they had just spent $650 on shocks and exhaust, and the transmission is about to go. There's a 2007 Ford Focus, which is new, and that's fine. There's a 1996 Ford Taurus, which is in fair condition. The AC doesn't work and the brakes are bad. There's a 1997 Ford Taurus with 97,000 miles on it, condition also fair, and its floorboard is rotted through, but sheet metal has been placed over the holes, and I have independent verification of that because one of the inspectors took someone from the law department out, and that lawyer was sitting over the holes in the floorboard.
Excuse me, Alderman Yates, you'll need a little more time to talk about
it. I request two more minutes, please.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Please go ahead.
There is a 2007 Toyota Prius that's new, fine. There's a 1999 Ford sedan that is poor. The front end has been repaired twice and cannot be fixed permanently. There's a 1995 Mercury Sable that's in good condition, and there's a 2000 Ford Focus that's new. There are four staff who have no vehicles. The correct layout there would be 12 vehicles. They don't have 12 vehicles. Most of the vehicles that they have are in terrible condition, I don't know about the people pulling up, but maybe all the when they see these vehicles pull up, probably the property owners are so busy laughing at the pathetic condition of them that maybe they cooperate more fully with the Inspectional Services Department. The vehicles at this time, only 3 to 4 of their vehicles are used, are taken home. Two are of electrical inspectors. Both individuals live in Newton and are frequently called by the police department and the fire department respond to fire and accident scenes. One senior plumbing and gas inspector take a car home, and one senior building inspector, also on calls emergencies, lives approximately 8 miles from Newton, takes a car home. I don't think that that's an abuse. I think that's being able to respond to the legitimate public safety needs. And I think, yes, we should find our resources and assess everything that's there. and we should come up with a policy and amend a policy that will get everything done as well as it can be in the future. But I think the proper vehicle, excuse that phrase, for that is an item before the Post Audit and Oversight Committee. And I think we owe it to the citizens as well as our employees to make sure that their property can be assessed, their inspections done promptly, and violations be enforced against promptly. And anything else, I think, is just detrimental to the citizens and to the employees.
And you'll need more time if you want to.
The primary thing, I'm done.
Okay. Sorry, but I'm Alderman Lappin. I have Alderman Brandel on the list.
Thank you. I have a comment and then a question. Excuse me. Inspectional Services is a department that we added an inspector to, this past budget season, and we did that because Inspectional Services is one of the departments that makes money. And in these fiscal times, I would think that we would want to support the department that makes money. And if they don't have cars to go do inspections, we don't get fees. So that's one issue. The assessing department also, if they can't go out and look at homes and update their assessments, again, we're losing revenue. So these two departments, I think it's important for them to have these vehicles. I wasn't there for the Prius discussion, and I'm not sure what that entails, but I would support these vehicles. However, I agree with Alderman Johnson that something needs to be done about this policy, and just saying let's do something about it isn't working. So if we support this, I think there should be some caveat that says these are the last vehicles that will be approved without an overhaul of the policy. So I don't know if we can add that onto this or we can't. We can't condition it.
Okay. We can't condition an appropriation,
well,
but I think
if we all agree that that's going to happen, or we do, or we have a resolution, or we just don't, or anything that's docketed, I just think it's important. I don't think that we need to stop making money for the city while we're waiting for a policy. But my question was to the chairman of finance. Did I just hear that these vehicles have already been authorized to be bought without the money? Is that what I heard?
The chairman of finance, can you just clarify the question for our colleague?
There's enough money in the automobile equipment account that it can be encumbered. David Wilkinson certified that there was $100,000 available for him to spend. It's no different than the school department authorized $500,000 for the conversion of the boilers, awaiting the Board of Aldermen to replenish that money from free cash. He can take the money from his budget. The problem is, if the board doesn't authorize the purchase of the vehicles, then he will have to come in for an additional appropriation to his equipment account. But he can spend up to the $100,000, and that's what I certified for him to do. No different than in past years when the city runs out of money for snow plowing in the evening and don't have any funds. George Mansfield, I'm sure in the old days, got phone calls, and I did, as the chairman of finance, to authorize the plows to continue to work even though they were out of money. So, yeah, I hope they've been bought because these other vehicles have to be replaced.
So it's not like when our buildings department authorized design money that they didn't have because they thought they were going to get it. This is money that already exists.
Okay. That was, there's money in his equipment account that is there. So it's just that there's no sense in trying to buy them when there were none available, especially with the possibility that Ford Motor Company was going to file for Chapter 7 a couple of weeks ago. Ron got back to me and said, Paul, I've got to do something quick or these cars aren't going to be available in a week. Notice, I talked to Dave Wilkinson and talked with the mayor's office, and we said, all right, go ahead and buy the seven the seven vehicles. He has not ordered the Priuses, but the vehicles at the auction at $11,100 a piece, not to exceed, in order to have those vehicles, in place for these for the departments. If not, the union, the 3092 union, was going to put in a grievance, and by the time we get through with the lawyers and everything else associated with having to deal with the grievance, we would have paid for four of the cars. So that I talked with Frank Greco, and he agreed to put off any filing of any grievance, you know, or anything as far as the union was concerned on the use of those four. Only four vehicles in inspectional services that were certified not to be roadworthy.
Okay. I have Alderman Brandel and Alderman Sangiolo and Alderman Mansfield. This is, again, Alderman Hesmahan, thank you. Alderman Parker, I haven't forgotten you. I'm just recognizing people who haven't spoken. I'll come back to you.
Just to be clear, Mr. President, it's for a motion that I want to be
recognized,
not to speak.
I understand. I just want to make sure that I get people.
Thank you, President Baker. It's not lost on me the fact that back in June, Chairman Colletti docketed the item regarding the policy on cars, and no action was taken on that policy until suddenly they wanted an appropriation from this board. We didn't hear from them, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Did they come back with a policy before they asked for this appropriation? So maybe it was a coincidence, or maybe it was a causal effect that once they want something from us, they are willing to play ball and work with us. Or maybe I'm misreading that. Either way, this is an issue of process. And once again, and it seems to be the case about every financial appropriation of any magnitude that comes before this board, it's at the 11th hour, and if we don't approve it, it's our fault. We have let down the citizens of Newton because at the last minute, we don't roll over and fund the last minute appropriation. Well, you can play that role. I'm not. I'm not going to support this until we get the policy back that clarifies what cars are being used for, by whom, under what terms, and for what purpose. This, as I understand it, is our job. We are to hold the city accountable for appropriations and how they happen. And it's not our fault that at the 11th hour, they have come forward to realize that there are cars with holes in the floor. I'm sure the holes were in the floor for quite some time. They just happened to bring it up to us and suddenly made it our issue. Well, it's not our issue. If this were a business and you wanted some sort of funding or some sort of budget line item, you would move heaven and earth to give the financial folks any information they needed so that they would go forward and give you that line item. It's as simple as that. So I would say to you, my colleagues, that if you want this policy, if you want to really understand what's going on here, and you want this process to happen a little more effectively in the future, I would not turn around and give this money over to them right now. I would hold out to get the policy, get the information so that we understand what we're doing, because if we're not, then we're simply not doing our jobs. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Sangiolo.
Wow, well said. I just want to add to that, that since there's already an authorization to, and there's already money available, we're not, by holding this item, we're not holding up the purchase of cars. They're going to go ahead, they have the money. What you would be holding up is, well, what you would get with the delay in 2 weeks is hopefully a policy in place so that that account can be reimbursed. So I would move that we hold this item. I'm sorry if that's what Alderman Parker was going to do. And also, as Alderman Brandel had suggested, you know, for a very long time, we've heard from the Commissioner of Inspectional Services and certainly from the inspectors that there have been problems with cars and that they needed vehicles. And this issue didn't just come up. This issue has been hanging around for a long time. Yet the executive department has managed to keep this issue ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And all we're asking for is the policy. And I don't think waiting for 2 weeks is going to be detrimental.
So,
motion to postpone
To the 20th?
Well, until we get the policy. So.
Well, I don't think you can do that. I mean...
Well, let's get it, and let's get...
Excuse me, let's not have a back and forth. The question is, do you want to make a motion to postpone to the 20th?
Is there a finance meeting on next Monday, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And can the finance chair take it up if the executive...
Well, you have to recommit it if you want to do that. We've had it in finance already, if you want to...
I'll move to postpone until the 20th.
Okay, there's a motion made to postpone the item to the 20th. Some seconded on that motion now. This is where we are. Okay, now let me recognize people who haven't been heard yet. Alderman Albright, then Alderman Parker, then Alderman Yates. Alderman Albright first. Sorry. I'm sorry, Alderman has my hand. This was, I thought, on the motion. Now, do you want to be heard on the motion? I'm sorry, I'll come back.
So
excuse me. No. All right.
Can't.
Sorry,
I have my cloaking device on tonight, so apparently I'm invisible to the president of the board.
No, the president is just weak-eyed. Never mind. Or weak-minded, one of the two, or both.
Well, I hope we don't hold this tonight. I do understand what the purpose of doing this is. I understand the outrage at not having a policy sooner, and I join in people in that. Unfortunately, I'm trying to be pragmatic here. The departments that are going to get whacked by this are the two departments that don't deserve to. And just joining the comments of Alderman Yates and Lappin and Schnipper with respect to that, but I just add one thing. I was going to mention the holes in the floor. I used to have a VW Beetle, had holes in the floor. It was no fun to drive. The other issue, though, is on a more serious note, not that that isn't serious enough, is that at this point, the only way that some of these inspectors can get to the job sites to do their inspections is by accepting rides from the contractors. That shouldn't happen. That should never happen in this city or any place else. And that was the one thing I heard at the ZAP meeting that bothered me more than anything else, was that given a choice and not getting there in a timely fashion to have whether it's a building permit or an inspection or what have you done, it concerns me greatly that they're put in the position of either the developer or owner or whoever or a complaining neighbor is not going to be able to get the proper service without having to get a ride from someone who owns the property. I mean, I think that puts the inspector in a really bad position. So I hope we'll be practical here. I kind of doubt we will, but I hope we'll be practical and do the right thing by these two departments.
Thank you. I'm sorry again on omitting you. I have Alderman Albright, and I see Alderman Danberg. We're going to run the table tonight, I think.
So I'm a little confused as to, I'm happy to hold it if it's the consensus of the group. I'm confused as to why we're holding it. So there are some people that say we have to have a policy, and there are some people that say we already have the policy. So if we already have the policy, maybe this is a question through you to Alderman Brandel, does that satisfy your concern? And if we postpone it, this already got recommitted to finance once. I would hope that given the conversation we had the first time and given the conversation we're having this time, don't bring it back to the full board until all of these questions are answered. It's doing us a disservice. We know what the issues are. There's a concern of the policy. There's a concern about the 62 employees who are taking their cars home at night. Apparently everybody wants all of those questions answered before they're willing to pass this. So please, if it goes back to finance, don't bring it back to the full board until those questions are answered. But if Alderman Brandel could explain his concern, Alderman Coletti says there is a policy. Could Alderman Brandel make it clear which policy he's looking for?
I guess the question through the chair is, there is a Alderman Brandel. Can I see it? All right. Well, Alderman Brandel, do you want a moment to inspect that, and I'll recognize somebody else in the meantime.
Okay.
I have Alderman. This is. I want to make sure I'm not omitting someone by inadvertence or by verdance. I have Alderman Mansfield. I have Alderman Danberg, who hasn't spoken yet. Alderman Parker has been very patient, but let me recognize Alderman Mansfield and Alderman Johnson. Okay. So Alderman Mansfield. This is on the motion to postpone.
Whether there is a written policy, and I don't know what the date of the policy is that Alderman Brendel and Alderman Swiston are looking at right now or not, it seems to me that the issue that has been defined through this discussion, and I thank Alderman Lappin for asking the Chair of Finance, I thank him for explaining it, and I share some of the indignation I heard expressed by Alderman Johnson and Alderman Brendel about this. The two departments that need the cars are going to get the cars because it's not, they're not suffering in any way because it's not coming out of their budget, it's coming out of the Public Works vehicle fleet maintenance budget. That's where the $80,000 has been encumbered. So that's the budget that may have to be replaced later in the year for other equipment. It seems to me, however, that that's quite different from what Alderman Colletti referred to when I think he was referring to snow plowing and when I chaired the Public Facilities Committee, that, yes, we authorize them to go ahead and plow the snow even though they don't have money in the budget, and they come back later to replenish the snow plowing account. That's different from coming back later to replenish lawnmower account because they spent the money instead on purchasing motor vehicles. I don't think they'd do that. That would be very embarrassing. And I think that this, by holding this is a way of clarifying the questions that many, many people here have expressed tonight about this policy. I myself, one thing that I think Alderman Parker referred to it in terms of why can we not consider as a city doing a little belt tightening and operating a little bit more efficiently by having a motor pool. Every winter, I drive into the library parking lot after the first snowfall, days after the first snowfall, and it happened 2 weeks ago, and there's five or six mounds of snow sitting there under which there are city vehicles which have not been dug out, which means they're not being used. And if we have city vehicles, they should be used most of the time, because that's the efficient way of doing it. So that's another question that we ought to have addressed as part of the policy. There may be a policy we may not, in fact, find upon reading the policy that it is agreeable to all of us. So I would support the motion to hold, because I think it's going to allow the need to be addressed and yet hopefully get the questions put clearly in front of us.
Thank you. I have Alderman Danberg, then Alderman Johnson. Alderman Danberg. Say again. Alderman Albert.
Now he doesn't remember
that he spoke. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to also support the motion to hold, because it's my understanding that although we all agree that the vehicles are needed, the vehicles are going to be able to be purchased. And the only reason that we're moving to hold is that we've got a policy that we have a lot of questions about. I think it's good that we've had this discussion tonight, because a lot of issues have come out, and we've learned a lot of things about this policy or the lack of items in it that we need to have in there. And given another couple of weeks, I think we can give it to the law department to put together some of the items that we need to have and be clarified in this policy. So let's go ahead and purchase the automobiles, because the inspectional services, these two departments, in fact, need these right away. I'm not concerned nearly as much about the Priuses, because I think that with the fall in oil and gas prices, we don't need at this point to be concerned with the last nickel that we're going to be spending or not spending on gasoline. What we need to do is to get these at least six cars on the road, because we've got inspectional services and the assessing department that can't really function without them. But I will support the motion to hold so that we can deal with the other issues at hand.
Okay. Alderman Johnson, then Alderman Parker, and then I'll recognize Alderman Brendel to respond.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's not just about the policy. And I don't know if you all have the finance report coming out of the December 22nd meeting on page 9, which is actually where there's a description of about the policy, docket item 24608, which was held. So that will, if you haven't, I'm not going to go through that, but there is a policy dated 1992, however, it has not been fully implemented, has some problems. The issue that I'm having is not just having a policy, it's taking the list, and if I could find it quickly, of the 62 people that take it home and how these cars are being used. Because if we got cars under piles of snow, we're not using them effectively. If we do the assessment and looking at the cars, who has them, how they're being used, almost like a Rubik's Cube, we may not need some new cars. We may have cars that could be given to inspectional services that are under a pile of snow somewhere. So it's not about not giving them their tools. It's spending our money wisely and assessing the need. And Alderman Brandel is right. If you are standing in front of a board of directors for a corporation, whether it be private or public, you would have to justify. It's $153,000 or $80,000. So, Alderman Colletti, I'd appreciate your attention, please. I think it is important for us to really look at how we're spending the money. This is our responsibility. So it's not just the policy, it's really matching it up with how the cards are being used. So that is what I'm looking for. I don't know if the executive department can complete that in 2 weeks. I hope so. As Alderman Brandel and Alderman Sangiolo have said, this need has existed for a while.
Okay. I have Alderman Parker, and then I'll come back to Alderman Brandel. And then Alderman Lapp.
On the motion to postpone, let me just make a couple quick points. First of all, it has been suggested that we have that the policy is complete. There is a draft policy, but and there's also a memo. This is on the vehicle take-home situation, from Chief Administrative Officer Sandy Pooler, that they are willing to further amend the policy to include as a factor the distance which a vehicle is travels from the city. But they, to the best of my knowledge, have not incorporated that yet. So we don't have a finalized policy that has that, and that I believe is the reason why we held the item in the Finance Committee, because there's more work to be done on the policy. In terms of whether, I just because I know that there are people out in the public who are probably concerned when they hear that the city has a policy of letting contractors provide rides to our inspectors. The ISD commissioner was very clear, Commissioner Latronica was very clear before the Finance Committee that he has an ironclad policy against that. He does not allow it. Wanted to... Well, he said he never allowed... The second he heard about it happening once, he said, the policy is against it. So it may have happened once, but they do not... That is not their policy. In terms of the need that Alderman Lappin referenced for the vehicles being needed in ISD and assessing now, I would suggest that with 2007 Ford Tauruses sitting, and we know from the inventory, having very little use in other departments, that we should not assume that there is a magic wall between departments, and we ought to be able to, the mayor could say, let's take some of these vehicles from another department and lend them to inspectional services and assessing. They have the city seal on them. We won't have the issue that I believe Alderman Hess-Mahan referenced of a vehicle coming up to someone's home that was, no, I'm sorry, someone else referenced, Alderman Schnipper referenced that, of a vehicle coming up to someone's home. It's a private vehicle. We have the resources within the city to get through the next couple weeks. I support the motion to postpone. If the motion to postpone fails, I will exercise my privilege under the rules to separate the item if the sense will admit it, and that would be into two pieces, a parens A and a parens B, parens A being $80,000 and parens B being $73,000 in change, so that we can vote on them separately. I think we can postpone the whole thing, but if people feel that there's a need to vote on some of it tonight, I think Alderman Brandel is absolutely correct that if we don't hold any of it back, we will lose a lot of our ability to pursue a comprehensive policy that has the support of the board and the public. And if I have another moment, Mr. President, on this environmental issue regarding the hybrids,
people assume that a hybrid's better for the environment. That's not, in fact, the case if it's not driven more than a certain amount. Because, in fact, the amount of energy that goes into building a hybrid automobile is so much greater because they have to build two engines than building a conventional automobile that if it's not driven a certain amount, it's actually worse for the environment. So it's not like you can just say, we're doing hybrids for the environment. You have to look at the utilization pattern.
Okay, I have Alderman Brendel. This is on the motion to postpone, Alderman Lappin, and then Alderman Yates.
Okay, I'll make this very quickly to address Alderman Albright's question. When you asked the question about if we have a policy, would I be okay with going forward with this, what I meant by that was a policy that was enforceable, a policy that made sense, and a policy that we all understood and agreed with, and we don't have that. Thank you, Alderman Schnipper, for handing over the, what was it, the 1992 policy, I believe. Well, that was a 12 or 13-point policy, and the new memo is a 13-point policy, so we don't know exactly what the changes are between those two policies. And then there's the notes from the finance meeting here where they say since 92 there has been a mileage charge aspect as part of the policy, which has never been enforced. So there's policy, and then there's policy we all respect and adhere to. So I think what we need to get to here, and I don't mean to drag this whole thing out, because I understand the need for this, and it's unfortunate, very unfortunate, that inspectional services and the assessors are suffering because of the lack of information being provided to this board to make a sensible and timely decision on this matter. I totally agree with that. But the point being is that there needs to be some flesh and meat to be put on the bones here. We don't really understand what's going on. We don't know who has what cars. There might be people who are on leave or cars parked in the parking lot that don't get used and could be used for the purposes we're describing. We need to understand that so that we can, with good conscience, approve this purchase. I don't have to remind everybody, these are hard times. We can't be making any moves here in some willy-nilly fashion. So that's what I meant by that.
All right. I'm mindful that we have, I think, on this motion to postpone, Alderman Lappin, you've already spoken once. I don't think, Alderman Swiston, you've spoken on the motion to postpone. You spoke earlier. So I need to recognize you, and then I'll come back to you, and then Alderman Yates.
I just want to remind everybody, the issue is that we don't want the assessing department and the inspectional services to suffer. And I absolutely agree that we should not have our employees going around in cars that are falling apart. But I think that that's already been addressed. Not only is there money that the cars were already bought, but also the issue that there are other cars within the city that they can be used. So this, you know, this is not about that. It's not about continuing to have our employees in cars that are just not acceptable to be driven around. And I do think that I would support the motion to postpone because I do agree. We're this close. I think a couple of weeks will get this closed. We should have the policy that is understandable and that is enforceable we're not going to have anything to bargain with if we just say, continue to allow business to be conducted as usual without putting some backing behind our request. I support the motion to postpone and hope that we will have this policy issue resolved by then.
Okay. I have Alderman Albright, Alderman Yates, then Alderman Lappin, Alderman Yates, and then Alderman Albright, and hope we can take a vote on this motion.
Okay, sorry. When I stood up earlier, I stood up to support assessing and inspectional services, our revenue-generating departments, because I didn't want them to stop generating revenue. After Alderman Colletti's clarification that these vehicles have already been purchased, I don't think there's any reason to vote on this tonight, and I will completely support holding it over for 2 weeks, and I still don't think we should support anything else until we get the policy.
Okay, I have Alderman Yates and then Alderman Albright on the motion to postpone. You've used your time, I think, so I have to ask you on this one if you would ask for an extension. Yeah. All right. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? Please go ahead.
I'd just like to throw out some questions that I have not heard the answers to. I think Alderman Albright raised them, and I didn't hear the answers. Maybe because I was out of the room, but not necessarily. Well, that could be too. Somebody made mention that there are toruses that are little used elsewhere in the city's domain. How does anybody know that? And what, if any of you know that, why haven't you shared it with the rest of us? I agree with what Alderman Parker said about hybrids. The distinction was clearly made in zoning and planning that hybrids really are not useful on city streets for short inspection trips, and they are more expensive, so I think those points are valid. But what are the products that we want out of these 2 weeks? You know why they ignore us? Because we never ask them clearly what we want. We send mush over there, they send mush back. I think we all need to go to Harvard Law if Mr. Houston was still there. I think we need the discipline of an item before public, I think, again, it legitimately goes to post-audit and oversight. And particularly, now, several of us have gone through our stuff, and I found the draft for discussion purposes only, 246-08, policy for commuting with city vehicles. Okay, what's wrong with it? Or what's not in it? What do we want them to tell us in the next 2 weeks? Because if somebody put a gun to my head and asked me to tell them, I couldn't. I'm not quite sure what everybody wants. And until you ask a question very clearly, you're not going to get a clear answer.
All right. I'm going to recognize Alderman Albright, then I'm going to make a suggestion. Alderman Albright?
Well, my suggestion exactly addresses what Alderman Yates was saying. I mean, Alderman Brendel raised some very valid issues. This is an administrative policy that we don't like, and so we have some questions about it. On the other hand, we're the funding organization. Maybe we need to have some policies. You know, you have to explain to us X, Y, Z, you know, the questions that Alderman Yates was referring to. Maybe we need a small subcommittee to say, what are the questions we want answered? And unless we have these questions answered, we can't approve this funding. This is the board's policy with respect to funding these kinds of requests. So I don't know if it's appropriate.
I'm going to make a suggestion. I think that since I'm hearing that there's, let's just see where we are in the motion to postpone, and then I will make a suggestion.
Okay.
Okay.
I would ask that there be a subcommittee.
Well, let's reserve that question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's just see on the motion to postpone. Can we just see if we can take this on a voice vote? All those in favor of the motion to postpone will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. All right, the chair is in doubt. We have a roll call. All right.
Restate the motion.
Let me restate the motion. It's a motion to postpone for 2 weeks to the 20th. All right, on this entire item.
Alderman Albright.
Aye.
Alderman Brandel.
Aye.
Alderman Ciccone.
Aye.
Alderman Colletti.
No.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman. Alderman Friedman.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile. Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesmahan.
No.
Alderman Johnson.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye.
Alderman Lennon.
Aye.
Alderman Linsky.
Aye.
Alderman Mansfield.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill.
No.
Alderman Parker.
Aye.
Alderman Salvucci.
No.
Alderman Sangiolo.
Aye.
Alderman Schnipper.
No.
Alderman Swiston.
Aye.
Alderman Vance.
Aye.
Alderman Yates.
No.
President Baker.
No.
The vote is 15 yeas, 7 nays, with 2 absent.
So the item is postponed. What my suggestion is going to be is somewhat parallel to what Alderman Albright. I think that, frankly, this is one of those places where at the discussion next time, I would entertain a motion to go into committee of the whole and hear from the executive department specifically, because I think the questions that have been posed need to be responded to so that people can understand them. It's clear that we can't send this back to committee. There are enough people that have questions about it. Let's see if we can iron them out. We have the clerk to assist in the clarification of some of the issues, and I invite any of our colleagues who have further clarification to offer them to the clerk, and we'll try and compile those and make the list of questions available to the executive department and see if we can come to some clarification of the information we would like to have. So I think that there have been enough conversation about that. Yes, Alderman Yates.
I would respectfully say that they should get questions in writing beforehand, and they should be requested to respond with answers to those questions in writing before that board meeting.
Well, let me suggest this, that what I'm going to recommend is that, and I'll be happy to work with the clerk's office and the advice of anyone who would like to share that with the clerk, that we give a set of questions that will go in the packet on Friday so that everybody can see what the questions are and ask them to have the responses in 2 weeks. Yes.
I just handed the clerk two of the questions that Alderman Johnson and some
okay,
of that.
So we try and make sure we've got something in writing to clarify this.
Mr. President, could I ask the members who've already composed their questions well enough to share them with the rest of us?
Oh, I would ask them to give them all to the clerk, and then we'll give them out.
Well, no, right now.
You can request it, but I'm going to rule it out of order. We've got to move on. Okay. So the process here is to try and get some clarification of the issues about the policies that we can use for purposes of getting a response from the executive department at the meeting on the 20th. Whether we have to suspend the rules to go and not suspend the rules, but to entertain a motion to go into committee of the whole, I'll leave open, but let's see where we are. So the next item is 48408 on page 4. It's a finance item again. And again, the tab asked me if there's much on second call. I said I didn't.
I don't know who put the item on second call. I don't know how much people want us to go into the discussion on this, but it's an item that was taken up 2 weeks ago. Oh, it's page 4. This is $12,500 from budget reserve for the purposes of making repairs and replacing as necessary kitchen equipment at City Hall. Nick Parnell was present that evening, and according to Mr. Parnell, the two pieces of equipment downstairs in the basement of this building are in need of repair. The gas stove, the commercial stove, which was used previously by two subcontractors who have operated the lunch program and the cafeteria program, and the refrigerator, has some problems with it also. Right now, the area is shut down, and that the second vendor who has tried to make a go of the business down there failed about maybe 4 months ago. And I think the representatives of the Tigers Culinary Program are going to propose, they still haven't signed a contract with anyone to go in there and do it, but in order, I guess they had a proposal, they had people come in with proposals, and each person that came in indicated that those two pieces of equipment were broken or at least in need of replacement. And as many of you might not know, the space down there, which includes the equipment and the utilities and the service area and the cafeteria area, made available through the city to the contractor at minimal cost. The city owns the equipment and pays for the utilities, and for that, there's a reduced price on the foods and services that are provided. So there's going to be one last attempt.